Hey there, Disky Chicks fans. Before we get started with today's podcast, I wanted to tell you about a special opportunity for you to become the disc expert in your organization. Would you like to deliver disc debriefs with ease? Facilitate coaching sessions and teaming sessions with confidence and elevate your stature as the go-to person for all things disc? Join us for our live advanced DISC certification training coming up in early January 2022. This is a live small group class delivered in 4 2-hour sessions during the first 2 weeks of January. Please go to DiskyChicks.com for more information. And don't wait, because the December 17th registration deadline is coming up quickly. Oh, and one more thing. Since you're a Disky Chicks podcast listener, enter the promotion code DCP123 to get $150 off the registration fee as a thank you from us to you. Now on with the show.
Welcome to the Disky Chicks podcast for business leaders, HR directors, coaches, and those interested in learning how to use the DISC assessment to grow self-awareness, improve communications, and develop leaders and teams. Please welcome your hosts, business coaches Martha Forlines and Cindy Jacoby. They are loud and proud about all things DISC because, like Aristotle, they believe knowing yourself is the beginning of all wisdom.
Welcome to episode 11 of the Disky Chicks podcast, where we talk about the most popular DISC behavior assessment and explore all the ways it can be used in the workplace, and it even works in your personal life. I'm your host, Martha Forlines.
And I'm your other host, Cindy Jacoby, and together we are the Disky Chicks.
Welcome back to those of you that have been following us, or if you're a first-time listener. Cindy and I are passionate about this assessment, and we use it in our coaching and consulting practices all the time. I mean, like all the time. We thought it might be helpful to you to know a little more about DISC behavior style, especially during these stressful times that we're having now. Right, Cindy?
Well, yes. And not only are the holidays coming up, and it's usually a stressful time, but in America especially, and probably all over the world with COVID-19, these times are more stressful and more unpredictable, I think, than any of us have ever seen. And again, the DISC assessment, which tells us so much about just our regular behavior, it also gives great indications of what you can expect when each of the communication styles fall under stress. And it's typically whatever your strongest one is, those behaviors get more intense. So Martha and I are going to take each letter one by one, and we'll go through and what you can expect to see from yourself if you know what your style is, or what your teammates might be experiencing if it's something that's different than you. As usual, we'll start off with the D. Does that sound good, Martha?
Let's go with that dominant.
Well, as we know, the dominant in general likes freedom, and they like to be able to get things done and make decisions. They like to be independent and in control. But as you can imagine with the situations right here, it's hard to know where you stand, and restrictions might be put on you by your company, whether you can't go into the office or other restrictions where you're not allowed to do what you want to do based on things being closed up or locked up. So what do you think we would see in a high-stress D, Martha?
They are all about being in large and in charge and in control of things. So as Cindy said, when things are not within their control, they experience quite a lot of stress, and they become more task-driven. They're already taskmasters, but they become even more task-driven. And they will become more abrupt, maybe rude, under stress, and very impatient. And particularly with those that they're working with that may be needy, more emotional, or somebody that's just as controlling as they are. So what happens in these situations is they will overstep their bounds of authority with ease. I mean, they don't even think about it because they're trying to reel in that control that they like to have.
Yeah, they want to get some results in. They want to get stuff done. And when things are up in the air and they can't keep moving forward, that's pretty stressful on them.
Oh, absolutely. And their stress, they like to kind of spread it around and share it with others. That may create even more stress and anxiety for other team members that are very, very different from that high dominant. And as I said, they may be very blunt in their communication, and they love to use sarcasm as a part of their communication style.
And you think about it, when all the other team members are probably under stress as well, that doesn't always go, you know, the way they want to. So if we're describing you, if you are a high D, you know, what should you do about this? If you find yourself in a situation where it's hard to gain control, pull back a little bit and think about the big picture and think about those goals that are quantifiable. Don't get caught up in power struggles with other people and try to get wins all the time. Go back to your quantifiable goals and see what are the things that you can achieve and what things you should just let go because you don't have control over those. And if you're a manager who has some high D's on your team, you can support these individuals by offering them tasks that allow them to shine. They allow them to get some wins, to take the lead on some things. Again, they want to get some things done. They'll want to rise to the challenge too. So give them a challenge that they can be successful at and they can take on. And that's a way to channel some of that D activity.
Right. Yeah, that's great. And I think high dominance are very stress hardy. We're not saying that they're not, because they really, really do stand up to the rigors of stress, but they need to be self-monitoring and be consistently self-aware of the impact that they're having on other team members.
Yeah, they're not worry warts, but if they are handcuffed and aren't able to move forward, that's stressful for them. But yes, you're right. They're not, they don't tend to back down very quickly to stress. They're high risk, risk tolerant people. But again, if they feel like they can't go do what they want to do, that's what gets them right in the heart.
Right. Exactly.
And the D's do have a heart, by the way.
They do. They do, underneath that hard exterior oftentimes.
That's right. Get them to slow down enough to smell the roses. All right. Well, let's talk about the eyes. Also a pretty fast-paced group of people. The eyes are our influencers. And so if you can imagine, one thing that would stress out an eye is not being able to influence. If they're sidelined, if there's restrictions placed on them, they want to do what they want to do and they want to talk to who they want to talk to. And that lack of being social, even in the workplace, is very stressful for a high I. If they're forced to focus on high detail things that they normally wouldn't have to do, that's also another stressor for the eyes. And so, Martha, what would we see in a stressed out high I who are typically pretty happy individuals?
Yeah, exactly. Well, one of the things is, you think about COVID and you think about a high influencer. I mean, right now they're stressed because they can't be with their people.
Right.
They can't be with their coworkers, or if they're a manager, they can't be with their team. So that's created a lot of stress. So they tend to be pretty emotional to begin with. So what happens under stress is their emotions kind of take over. And they can act pretty impulsively, heart over mind, in terms of really not thinking things through as clearly as they need to be. They may reach conclusions that don't make any sense because, remember, they're in their right side of their brain and that emotional place, and they're not thinking through things very logically.
So and they don't have people to talk it through with either.
No, unless they, you know, call somebody up on the phone because they can't get on Zoom at the moment, right? And they'll make decisions just based on gut feel. And we all know that oftentimes those kind of decisions in the moment in a high stress situation may not be the best long-term decisions.
Yeah, so I would say eyes, you know, what they need to do is just look for opportunities to move around, to meet people, to interact, whether it's walking down the street, going into the places you're allowed to go in, or making some calls, making some Zoom calls, feed that need for interaction. But to your point, Martha, don't get too disorganized because that's going to just create more heartache for the high influencers. Right. In the future. And if you are managing high eyes on your team, you need to look for ways where they can shine, where they can show their positivity, their social interaction, provide them some positive feedback, attention.
And, you know, the other thing is, you know, those high influencers hate feeling rejected. Right. And you're talking about putting them under a lot of stress so that and they're paying attention to people's body language on these Zoom calls, and all of a sudden they see one of their best buds kind of tune out, they're going to take it personally and go, oh my God, what did I do? What do I need? I mean, tremendous stress in that area of rejection and people not feeling the love. You know,
I think a good manager will know that, and they will give these high eyes an opportunity to show their sunny side, their fun side, even if it's, and we want to break up those Zoom calls anyway. So maybe you can put the high eye in charge of the quiz or the poll of the day where they can ask a funny question or just something to make people human again and not so strict on business the whole time. And that's how they get their business done, is through relationships. We say social, but it's also a way of developing relationships. And so a good manager will know this about an eye and find some ways to let that person shine and be interactive.
And as a manager of a stressed out high influencer, they're going to share their anxiety and stress with other people. It's like very contagious. You want to really move them to another place as quickly as you can so that it doesn't rub off on the whole team, if you will.
Yeah. All right. So Martha, let's talk about the high S, our steadies. As you know, steadies are known for liking things steady, stable, they're laid back. You know, they don't like a lot of change. They don't like unstructured situations and surprises. That creates anxiety for them. So in these COVID days, in some ways, things are calm and easygoing because they can be at home. But that unexpected nature of what's going to happen is really stressful for us. And having to do things for a new way for the first time, they really get out of their routine, and the S's just thrive for a routine.
Right. And what you see is this really easygoing person all of a sudden being, I mean, we're talking digging their heels in, stubborn and unyielding and not wanting to embrace a new way of doing things. I mean, it is a real drastic shift. And the truth be known, the high steadies aren't as stress hardy as your dominants and your influencers. So it's going to be tough to read them because they don't show a lot of emotion. But when you see that stubbornness start up and being really resistant to you, you know that is who is showing up at the moment. And it takes them a time to adjust to things. Yeah. If you've got, in the beginning of COVID, probably your most challenging coworkers or employees may have been those steadies, quite honestly. Just be really, really careful and cautious and look for the symptoms when a high steady is stressed out. And then they start really seeing only the doom and gloom.
Right.
They cannot see the positive side of a potential outcome when they're under that much stress. And you've got to help kind of lift them out of that and get them talking, because they may shut down on you is another symptom.
Yeah. When I'm coaching a high steady, especially during these times, you know, we try to get them to take a breath and not allow yourself to be overwhelmed. They've gotten through stressful situations in the past. So we try to look at those times. When have you had something similar? How did you do it? Again, the enormity of the situation can sometimes be overwhelming. So remind them that they know how to execute. It may be in it from a different location, but they'll get back in routine, the new normal, which is a term a lot of people don't like, but that's what the S's, you know, are looking for.
Right.
And if you're managing a high S, you want to encourage those kinds of team members to speak up about being uncomfortable. And they're not likely to do that because they're not likely to interrupt. So you do have to go in and kind of pull it out of them and be mindful of the changes that you're asking them to make. Like Martha said, it's easy to overlook somebody who is a high S who may be under stress because they don't show emotion. They're the ones that have the poker face. So you really have to ask them and look for those signs that Martha pointed out about them kind of digging in their heels and not being willing to bend for sometimes what seems to be a reasonable request. It's just too much change for a high S, and they internalize a lot of that.
As a leader of that high steady, is okay, what normal thing can you move them toward that you know they're comfortable doing?
Right.
Can you give them some, not throwaway tasks, but things that would get them back into, they're more methodical and stepwise. So what can you do to get them there? Because then they get more comfortable and can pull out of that high stress mode.
Yeah. Anything that's predictable or reliable that they can get into is a lot more comforting than just bombarding them with all kinds of new things. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And our last style is the C, or cautious, conscientious. We've got lots of labels for that C. You know, the C's like their accurate information. And when things become unclear or there aren't any rules, which there are a lot during these times of COVID, that's going to cause a lot of stress. We don't have guidelines for how to reopen. We don't have guidelines for how to operate. And this is really tough because those high C's rely on those rules as a measuring stick to know where they are. And when there aren't any rules, it's really stressful for them. What would we see, Martha? What was that look like?
Yeah. Well, I've always really, really appreciated in a high compliant or a high C that they're great question askers. And under stress, they really start seeking a lot of answers to a lot of questions, looking for feedback and direction. And you need to give it to them. You need to give them what they need in this case, because they are speakers of the truth. They're always seeking the truth. And if it's too gray for them, you're going to see them getting very stressed, but they become more rigid than a high C normally is.
Not easy to do.
under a lot of stress. And, you know, they're really looking for processes and procedures and ways to get to the end of an answer to something. It just is this world of COVID has created a lot of stress for the high compliance that really like order.
Yeah. And if I'm coaching a high C, I would tell them to, you know, give yourself a break and let go of the perfection. And that's easy for me to say, I know, because a high C
craves perfection, even though it's rarely attainable. So we kind of remind them of that, that these are uncertain times and there aren't rules. Give yourself permission to make mistakes. Again, that's really hard. It's really tough advice to give to a high C, but if we can at least get that in their brains that there aren't rules to follow. So you don't know if you're making a mistake or not, but that doesn't mean to not try to do something. You know, everybody makes mistakes and you just learn from it. And that's how you move on. If you have high compliant C's in your team or on your team, you know, just remember that they are craving control and they're self-directed. If they can get their questions answered, you know, they can move forward. But when there's just uncontrolled chaos in their work life or even in their home life, that creates a lot of pressure for them. And so just pull that person aside and try to give them tasks that require some logic and control and let them produce something. You know, that's what they want to do, is they want to produce something that is error-free as possible. And if you can remove the emotional distractions around that person, they'll thrive, you know, a lot better if you can give them some direction and control and isolate them from chaos. Piece of cake, right?
Right. And the other symptom to look for is they will just go silent. They will just be very, very quiet. And they have great ideas, but when they're under tremendous stress, that's their safe place to go, is within themselves. And you can see it when you see it on a high compliant, but you have to pay attention to your cues and try to give them what they're needing at that moment, which is order and methods and a way to be successful and as perfect as possible.
As perfect as possible during these imperfect times.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, we hope, you know, our goal was to help not only an individual recognize how their type responds to stress, but also if you're a manager, remember that you're managing all types of people. And as usual, Martha and I pull out each one of these letters as if they're just a standalone person. And we're made up of a combination of all of these. But just keep in mind the way that you react to stress could be completely opposite of the way somebody else does. Some people need more freedom and need to get out there. Others need less freedom and more rules. And, you know, a good manager will review each member on their team and start thinking of what it is that person needs and do their best to meet that type and help them through this.
Right.
And you take care of yourself too.
Well, yeah. And self-awareness, I know Cindy mentioned this, is really important. So if you have team members that have been through the DISC training and have been practicing DISC for a while, then it's good to circle the wagons on reminding people to be self-aware of when they're feeling vulnerable or stressed, and then what they need to do to take care of themselves. And that's a wonderful thing when they can do that. But as a leader of that person, you really need to be queued up as well of what those stress symptoms look like.
And I think you can also help your team recognize stress symbols in other people as well and give each other a break for this. You know, like you talked about, the D's are probably going to tick some people off because they're trying to get results done and they get impatient, and they do that anyway, but under stress, it gets magnified, I should say. Yeah. So watch for that and give each other a break.
Well, wonderful. Well, thank you for joining us today. And we always remind you to take advantage of our free DISC behavior assessment offer on our Facebook page at Disky Chicks Podcast. And tell your friends all about us and where they can learn more and more about DISC behavior that can enhance teamwork and your own professional performance.
Yeah, and we love your questions. So you can send us questions through our Facebook page. And if you want to try to reach me, I'm Cindy Jacoby, and my website is bizhelpconsulting.com.
And I'm Martha Forlines, and my website is marthaforlines.com. Pretty easy to remember. So you can find out more about what we do and what we specialize in.
And listen to some old podcasts too. Yeah, we'd love to have you binge listen. That's stress-free, right?
That's right.
All right. Well, it's been a great episode. Martha, have a stress-free rest of the month.
All right. Roger, take it away.
Thank you for listening to the Disky Chicks podcast. Never miss an episode by subscribing today. To learn more or start a conversation with Cindy and Martha, visit the Disky Chicks podcast Facebook page.